It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Coming up, it was an eventful day and night as candidate Donald Trump made his first visit to Pittsburgh. We'll break down what happened. But first, there are many ways to serve your country. And since 2010, over 200 employees from the Pittsburgh region have served the U.S. Department of State. Among them, former U.S. Ambassador to Ireland and Pittsburgh Steelers Chairman Dan Rooney. So what is the U.S. Department of State looking for in people to serve America's interests at home and abroad? And what should you do if you would like to become one of them? Today in Pittsburgh, the State Department is holding a Global Careers Networking event. And here to tell us more about it is Carol Perez. She is Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of Human Resources. Carol Perez, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's a real pleasure to be here.
And if you have a comment or question, if there is something about working for the State Department or getting involved in foreign affairs on behalf of your country, if that's something that interests you and you want to know more, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. And before we get into why the State Department is coming to Pittsburgh, what kind of an overview, Carol Perez, can you give us of the very important work that the State Department does?
So the State Department represents the U.S. government and the U.S. people's interest across the globe. We serve in approximately 180 different embassies, and we have a number of consulates as well. We are involved in every single issue that touches the lives of Americans. And so whatever your interest might be, we have to make sure that we engage with foreign audiences on these issues. I meet people who are really concerned about climate change. I meet people who are really interested in economic development. I meet people who really want to work on women's issues. And so we have opportunities to do all of that. We also take care of Americans when they get in trouble overseas. Hopefully most people don't, but we are there when things don't go right. So we do help Americans in that way as well.
And many people may not understand the difference between an embassy and a consulate. What is the difference?
The embassy is usually in the capital city of a country, and it is the organization that's responsible for the bilateral relationships with that country. Consulates do two primary things. First of all, they are there to handle American citizen and consular services, which includes visas and passports, but also they're there to have representation in very large cities where we have a lot of interests. And I've done this twice in my career. I served as the principal officer of the consul general in both Milan, Italy, and also in Barcelona, Spain.
Good places.
Very good places. I was very, very lucky.
And so, for example, in Pittsburgh, in the United States, the French, of course, have their embassy in Washington, but there's a French consulate here. So I think we now know what they are doing here in the city of Pittsburgh, if we didn't already. So tell us about the event taking place downtown today, tonight.
Absolutely. And we really encourage everyone to come join us. You do not have to pre-register, so you are able to walk in. At between 5:30 and 8 this evening, we will be at the Doubletree on Bigelow Square. And I am here with some of my colleagues from the State Department. I'm a Foreign Service officer, but we will have Foreign Service specialists. These are people with significant technical skills. They might be architects. They could be doctors, nurses, IT professionals, administrative professionals. We will have people to talk about those kinds of careers. We will also have someone from the civil service. Civil servants work in the State Department. They don't go overseas like I would, but they do provide great support for us.
And what will people learn about the work that the State Department does and the part that they can play eventually in helping the department accomplish its goals?
What I think we really want to let people know is that there are very many different paths to entry into the State Department. And I think what we really want to also encourage is this is a real call to public service. I think that's something that resonates with me. I'm really proud to be an American. I know that sounds sort of corny, but when you are living overseas, people do identify with us as U.S. citizens and diplomats. It's such a wonderful country. It's such a great thing for us to do. So we will be there tonight to talk to people about how many different ways people can actually engage in this type of career. There are many different paths, and we want to encourage a lot of diversity. One of the reasons we're in Pittsburgh, and I understand this because I'm a native of Cleveland, Ohio, is is we need geographic diversity. And even though there have been, you know, almost 300 Pittsburgh natives that have been in the State Department, why can't it be 600 or 1,000? So we want diversity in terms of geography.
How many people work at the State Department?
So we have about 14,000 Foreign Service officers and another 11,000 civil servants. That's our total population. We also hire local staff in all our countries, and that's about another 50,000 people.
You know, the thought just occurred to me, are you thankful that, I don't know how far in advance you, how far out you plan these things, but are you glad that you picked April 14th instead of April 13th to be holding this in Pittsburgh, you know, between 5:30 and 8 o'clock at night?
Yes. Well, we do try to get out there in a time that seems to make sense. We like to do them in the spring and the fall so we can get the largest group possible. But this has been a very busy two-day period in Pittsburgh, so
right.
We're glad it wasn't last night and tonight.
Yeah, and there's no way you could have foreseen the visit by Donald Trump or the scheduling of the Stanley Cup playoff. There was a baseball game, but
yes.
You know, those other things were kind of making this city a little nuts last night, and tonight it'll be relatively calm.
Thankfully. So if people are looking for something to do, we'd very much like to see them this evening.
You know, I'm curious because there's the work that you do, Carol, you know, working as a Foreign Service officer, working as a consul general, as you did in Europe. And then there are the other jobs that, you know, the civil service jobs and the very, very specialized work that people do at home and abroad. What about people who we talk a lot about or have talked a lot on this show about people who have a liberal arts education, who are well-rounded, who know history, who are well-read, and who may feel that they have a part to play in, you know, helping to spread the kind of message that the State Department wants to spread around the world. Where do those people fit in, and what are the age ranges of the people that would maybe fit what you're looking for?
Well, that's a great question, because I'm actually a former political science major myself. So what we are looking for are people who can analyze information, make policy recommendations, are problem solvers, that can implement programs in challenging circumstances, and help can build alliances and convince others to join us to make the world a safer place. I think that is perfect for the history, econ, English, political science majors. The great thing about the State Department is that we train you. So we just ask that you be inquisitive and interested and want to have some cultural experiences outside the United States. So we teach you a language, we pay for you to live overseas, and you can join as early as 21 or as late as 59 and a half.
Wow. That's a pretty broad range.
It's a pretty broad range. And the average for us is 32 years of age, but we have people that come in right out of college. Let me just say one other thing. You don't even need a college degree.
Wow. That's good to know. I was thinking, I wonder, you know, what kind of postgraduate degree you might need. And you're saying that even a college degree isn't even necessarily a must.
It is not. The average person coming in does have a college degree and more likely a master's degree, but we do have people that enter without degrees and have very successful careers.
The world is ever changing, and these days it seems that the world has become ever more complicated, intertwined, and dangerous. How has this changed the nature of what the State Department does, or at least its approach to global affairs?
I think you're absolutely right, and I'm reminded every day when we have the attacks like we had in Brussels just a couple of weeks ago, and I've been to Brussels many times over my career. It is a more dangerous world than when I joined. I've been in the Foreign Service for 28 years. I think the expectation now for people that do enter the Foreign Service is you are going to be serving in places that are not as safe as they were 20 or 25 years ago. But we need to redouble our efforts. We really need to find ways to engage with communities to stop violent extremism. And that takes people. The State Department is very much a personal organization. You can do many things with media, but you have to have those relationships. And that takes make sure we have enough people and the right people to really engage with foreign audiences.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Carol Perez. She is Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of Human Resources, talking about the possibility of serving the U.S. Department of State. If that's something you're interested in, they are encouraging, or the State Department is encouraging, people in Pittsburgh to check it out. And there is an event tonight happening that is an informational get-together downtown to help people with their interests in serving as members of the State Department. And we'll get into some of the details of that coming up before we wrap this up. Is it trickier than it used to be to place Americans in embassies and consulates abroad representing the United States, particularly if there is an area that is relatively safe? You know, maybe you know you've got if it comes down to a choice between putting somebody in an embassy that is located in a nation that we're particularly friendly with, as opposed to an area that's more hostile. How do you decide who goes where?
Well, we actually have an internal process for the department where we look at what our foreign policy objectives are, and that's how we decide on staffing. What I would say is we do serve in some very dangerous places. We have very large staff in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and many of those people are serving solo assignments, so families are not able to join them. I think that's another thing that people don't understand, that many State Department people really do make sacrifices, just like the military. We are on the front lines. You know, you have the three Ds, so you have development, diplomacy, and defense, and we're one of those threes. You have to have all of them, I think, together in order to be successful. So we do have to put people there. We have to engage, even when it will be dangerous. People do select where they'd like to serve. So for the most part, we are not directing people, but people do select. But I think that I've got great colleagues, and they understand how important it is, and they're willing to make sacrifices.
What happens when a new Secretary of State comes in, as will happen next year? There is, of course, if he were interested in continuing to serve, the long shot chance that whoever the new president is would want to retain John Kerry, but chances are we'll see a new Secretary of State next year. So how does that impact things?
It does have a significant impact. I mean, obviously, if there is a change of administration, we will have new policies in place. But even when there's not, and I have actually worked both a change from Democrat to Republican and then from Republican to Republican, career officers stay. So people like me get to keep our jobs. We may be asked to take a new job, and there will be some movement. But for the most part, we do stay. Political appointees generally are asked to resign. Not always, but they're generally asked to resign. But it is interesting that I think foreign policy does tend to stay the same over time, because you just can't.
Even when you have, two people as different as, say, Colin Powell and Hillary Clinton, do you feel some reverberation there a little bit?
You know, it's interesting. I worked for Colin Powell, and I was overseas when Hillary started her tenure at State, but came back during the end of that. You know, things don't change as much as people think they do. Mm-hmm. I think what I found working in the department was that, first of all, we really care about what's important for the American people, and that's the thing I think that sort of drives everything. We are there to really support America and what our values are, and I think every Secretary of State wants to do that. And so no matter what kinds of things they might emphasize, and I would say Hillary Clinton, for example, emphasized women and children. Colin Powell may have emphasized something a little bit different. At the end of the day, we're really here to represent the U.S. and our interests.
It sounds like an interesting, certainly inspiring, stimulating, and safe, steady job working for the State Department. And we've been talking about that with Carol Perez, who is Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for the Bureau of Human Resources. And today in Pittsburgh, the State Department holding a global careers networking event. When and where again, just to remind our listeners?
It is going to be at the Doubletree Hotel at Bigelow Square. And let me just give everyone else, we do have a email address. It's careers.state.gov. And that can put you in touch with our diplomat in residence. We have one for the Pittsburgh area. She lives in New York, but she is available. It'll give you all the information you need about jobs in the State Department.
Sounds great. And so if you're interested, you now know where and when and where to go. Carol Perez, thank you so much for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. It's been a real pleasure.
Coming up, it was a hot time in the old town last night as GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump spoke to his Steel City supporters for the first time. We'll talk about it. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.